Okay, well, thank you very much. We're going to switch gears a little here. So this is not a neon talk. Okay, so we are in that category of first adopters of not only environmental sensor technology, but really networks of environmental sensors. And so I'm going to talk today about a new U.S. Forest Service project, and it's called the Smart Forest Network, although anybody who knows me know that I really like to think about it as Smart Forest for the 21st century. And I'd certainly like to start by acknowledging my co-authors, who are my colleagues, who are the lead scientists and PIs on the other sites that are engaged in this effort. So I really only have one slide to set the stage here, and I just want to make three quick points to make sure that we're all on the same page. And one is, I think we're all here because we understand that the 21st century is a time of just tremendous environmental change, and the demand for information to understand and to monitor this change has probably never been greater. On the other hand, we're also in an era of new technology where a new generation of environmental sensors and wireless communications is providing a literal game change in the way we can meet this demand for information, and we are now able to provide high quality, high frequency data to end users in near real time. And then the final point is the emerging technology, which is really what this slide is here, of an increasingly diverse and sophisticated array of sensors is really allowing us to better understand the physical, chemical, and biological pulse of our forests. So I've been in the environmental sciences for over 30 years now, and I can honestly say this is one of the most exciting times in the environmental sciences. So in brief, I want to go over who we are, the Smart Forest, what we do, why we are doing it, what we are learning, and then I hope I have time for new opportunities for creative communication. So, who are we? We are the U.S. Forest Service, and you may or may not know that we own and operate over 80 experimental forests, which are situated across the continental U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, and the Virgin Islands. These have been established sequentially since about 1908, and they really represent a wealth of information on the physical, chemical, and biological properties of our forests and rangelands. Like NEON, GLEON, LTER, LTAR, and the other alphabet soup of long-term research sites, many of these sites are beginning to adopt environmental sensor technology. And so it's really an unprecedented opportunity for us to bring these sites together and bring this technology to these sites. And so this is a site, we're currently a collection, we're a good collection of individual sites. And really our vision is to go forward and be an excellent network of connected sites. In short, our vision is to create a network of research sites that are equipped with a synergistic technological platform combining high-frequency, real-time, sensor-based measurements with traditional ecological field-scale studies designed to monitor and respond rapidly to environmental change at the local to regional and really at the continental scales. And I know that's kind of a mouthful, but the words that are important, at least to me in this, is that we are a true network, not just a collection of sites, that our platform is synergistic, that the whole is truly greater than the sum of the parts, that we're combining the sensor-based measurements with the rich history of ecological field studies we have at these sites, and together we're able to respond rapidly to environmental change. Briefly, the components of our smart forests are to include state-of-the-art wireless sensor network for the capture and delivery of high-resolution hydrometric data, creating the cyber backbone or the cyber infrastructure for additional site-specific sensors, provide streaming real-time QC to ensure the highest quality data, deliver that data to a central database with a single web portal, provide interactive data visualizations and contents for scientists, but also for educators and the public, and ultimately to be question-driven. So this is our current vision of where we'd like to go, but unlike NEON, we don't have the resources to do that all at once. And so we're building this out in the northeastern U.S. and northern Midwest, and this is really the footprint of the U.S. Forest Service Northern Research Station. And essentially, we have already built this out at 6 sites, which are shown in the red circles here, and we will be building this out at another 5 sites next year. And so again, in the Northeast, we want to go from this good collection of individual sites to a great network of connected sites, and we're halfway there. So in a nutshell, what do? Nothing as elaborate as NEON with our resources. But again, remember, we have up to 100 years of data already at these sites. So we're building on that tremendous database that we already have. So what we're putting out there is a MET station, soil climate station, stream gauging station, webcams for phenology, and we'll tap into the National Phenology Network, and then providing whatever communications, power, data loggers that the sites need to get this data out there. So we're not just giving this this equipment to the sites, we're really helping them with the implementation. And so our team works with the team at the sites, develops a blueprint for what is needed at that specific site. Then we have the resources to order the equipment, and we build it out modularly at our Hubbard Brooks Sensor Science Lab that we just built. And then we pile that all into our Ghostbusters vehicles, and we go out to the sites, and we take the equipment out there. We help the site team install the equipment, and we help them teach them how it works and how to maintain it. Important part of this is we then go back to our sensor science lab, and we make sure within the ensuing couple of weeks that that data is flowing from the sensors to the data loggers through whatever wireless channels we've decided to use at that site, through a streaming QA/QC or QC program, and onto the internet in near real time. And so this is our website, Smart Forest for the 21st Century, and you can now go and click on data. This is not very pretty yet. We're working on our public interface, but you can click on one of 4 sites. The other 2 will be up and running in a couple of weeks. Say Hubbard Brook as a really neat site to look at. You can see, again, not very interactive, but you can find the data. It's discoverable. You can click on your favorite site, and this happens to be Watershed 6, our classic reference site at Hubbard Brook, and you can see stream stage height and stream temperature, their graphs for our other measurements. And then I always like visuals, so we do have webcams out there. This is Hubbard Brook yesterday, which is when I needed to upload my talk, but you can see these in near real time if you want to see a visual of what's going on at the site. We really believe, as NEON does very strongly, in QA/QC. We believe that bad data is worse than no data. And over the last couple of years, we've been involved in a number of regional and national projects, including this paper in Bioscience, led by John Campbell, also myself, talking about quantity is nothing without quality. How do you go about doing streaming QA/QC? We've also worked with the folks on the LTR sites to get an environmental sensor best practices manual, which is now available on the internet. So if someone's just starting and doesn't have the resources of NEON, how do you start? What do you do? How do you go about this? So despite all our best efforts, we all know that bad stuff, right, still happens. It will happen at NEON. But we do feel that because of that, it is critically important that we really always have someone that's on site looking at the data, and that's part of our QA/QC program. It's always eyes on the data. It's very easy to put a sensor out there. It's very hard to make sure that it works right. So why are we doing this? I'm going to talk about 3 expected outcomes really briefly. The first is new approaches to doing our business. Okay, so the map here is a map of the Hubbard Brook Experimental Forest. This is an 8,000-acre bowl-shaped valley in very rugged terrain. And historically, for almost 60 years, right, our technicians start out over here by Mirror Lake, and they trudge up to the watersheds and go around the rounds of the south-facing watersheds, and then they go over here to the north-facing watersheds, and they come back for what they forgot, and they go around and around and around again. So now they come in, and they sit down at their monitors, and they can see data from over 150 sensors in real time, and they can plan their data and be much more efficient about what they're doing. Another thing, just a quick slide of we're coming out of the dark ages. Okay, here on the left of strip chart recorders. Believe it or not, a lot of people still use these, and we're still running these at Hubbard Brook. Coming out of the dark ages into the new ages of digital data capture, and you can see that Ian is much happier than Amy is, and yet they're both still doing this at Hubbard Brook, one room over from each other. So making this transition is extraordinarily difficult. So the next thing is the ability to monitor our ecosystems in extreme places and times. This is the Mount Washington Observatory, which is just down the road for us, just to say that we can get sensors out in many more places than we were able to before. And with the wireless connections, we can actually see if we're collecting the data we think we're doing. This is an example of an extreme event. We're now forming RAT teams, rapid assessment teams, and digital sensors are a core tool in our toolbox to be able to rapidly assess extreme events in real time. And really, the crux of what we want is new opportunities for research. And at the risk of being trite, we talk about the known knowns, the known unknowns, and the unknown unknowns. An example that we can all think of the known knowns is monitoring. Right? This is the bread and butter of what we do at the experimental forest, and the sensors, as I just talked about, allows us to do this more efficiently. Known unknowns. Example for us is diurnal signals. We know they exist, but we haven't been able to measure and monitor them in real time. So we've spent a lot of time, right, looking at long-term trends. Now we want to look at short-term trends. The bottom graph just shows some of the diurnal changes in stream temperature, DOC, nitrate, and dissolved oxygen, and we're beginning to link that to some of the metabolism of our streams and forest ecosystems. Digging a little bit deeper, the most fun ones are the unknown unknowns, and this is an example of a vernal asynchrony in soil temperature and leaf out that we never knew existed. Okay, so this graph has three parts to it. The hatched here is snow depth, the black line is soil temperature, and the dots are phenology, leaf out. And basically, you can see that temperature goes basically at zero under the snowpack. As soon as the snow goes, there's a heat of thaw, and temperatures jump. It's really quite remarkable. They jump 3 to 8 degrees C in 24 to 48 hours. It's as amazing as ice out when you see it happens. It happens year after year after year and place after place after place. But look over here. The leaves don't even begin to bud out till 2 or 3 weeks later. So there's this asynchrony when the soils are biologically active, but the plants aren't taking up water and nutrients. With our 55 years of data, we can also say that things are changing over time, and we all know that leaves are the phenology is changing, and I know I have to talk more rapidly here, which is tough for me, but the bottom line here is that spring trigger is advancing more rapidly than the leaf phenology, so we can estimate 8 additional days when these soils are biologically active, but the overstory isn't taking up nutrients. So the point of that really isn't that story, but that we can see those kinds of things with our signals. So I want to at least mention new opportunities for creative collaborations. If you go back to our website, you can click on WaterViz. And WaterViz, which is my prop up here I also have running, is a water cycle visualization and sonification tool where we're basically combining hydrologic science with the visual arts, music, education, and graphic design. And just in a nutshell, we take all that beautiful near real-time data, and it bounces around the internet a little bit. It actually ends up in Finland. It feeds an artist's visualization and a musician's sonification of our water cycle in near real-time. And I'm going to play just a short clip from Tropical Storm Irene to give you a sense. Okay, and this is just a visual of the running data that was collected 2 hours ago at Hubbard Brook, and I invite you to come and you can listen in to see what the data looks like in years and what it sounds like. So I'm going to close with this because I'm running late, but in sum, I love John Gribbin's statement that seminal scientific discoveries are inevitably preceded by technological inventions. We all know that the telescope instigated a new era of thinking for astronomy and physics. The microscope resulted in the discovery of the cell, and I am really excited about what we're going to discover with our new era of environmental sensors. And I would like to acknowledge the many, many people, from the scientists to the technicians to the artists and musicians, the educators, who are participating in our smart forests for the 21st century. So thank you for your patience. It's trying to get our data across beyond charts and graphs, right? We all love all these data and all these CSV files and these millions of data points, but how can we make it more interesting, more available to a broader audience? So that's what we're playing around with.